voice dialogue, and it was short. It's just like cowboys talking to cowboys. You going this way? Yeah. Me too. All right. Let's team up. Kill these motherfuckers.
Welcome to the DL Gaming Podcast, the not-so-PC PC Gaming Podcast. I'm Bobby.
And I'm Emilio.
All right, and we have got demos
this week. Yeah, the Steam Games Festival kind of came out of nowhere. Somebody emailed us about playing one of their games live, streaming it on Steam. And that's the first I had heard about. They're like, hey, this festival's coming up. Can you guys play this game or whatever? I think that's the game that you ended up playing, the Nature's one. It could have been a different one. We're getting emails all the time, man. I got one yesterday. I'll talk about that a little later. But yeah, so this kind of came out of nowhere. And there was like 300 demos. And I'm so glad that demos are back on the table. There is one downside. I feel like it kind of takes away our job. Like, why would they come to us to listen to us if they could just go play it?
You know what I mean? Yeah, I suppose. And really, that's the best way to really understand a game. Because no matter what you hear about it or what you see, it can be deceiving. Like, screenshots, yeah. Even, you know, trailers for a game can be very deceiving. So playing the game actually gets you a much better idea of what it is. Although, I found out during all these demos that sometimes it's not the best representation of a game. I don't know. I'll start by talking about the first one that I played, Ruinark. So I played Ruinark. This is a game that's being published by Squeaky Wheels Studios. These are the guys, one of the guys that I interviewed, who made Academia School Simulator.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So their company is publishing this game, Ruinark, and he's been advertising it a lot on Twitter. So when I saw the demo, I thought, yeah, definitely going to check this out. So the idea with this, and it's a really interesting idea, the idea is that it's like one of those sim games where you're trying to build a village and everybody has these interactions with each other, except you're the bad guy. You control a few different things. You can control, like you can create these little hives of monsters around the town, and then you can breed them and build them up and then send them in to attack. You can also cast spells like control rain and wind and send poison clouds and then zap them with electricity. And you can also use the information. You can build a building that allows you to grab information from the villagers and figure out, okay, these two people are dating. But this one flirted with some other person. I'm going to share that information with somebody else and cause...
You're like, you know, the devil.
So Discord. Yeah, it's very screw tape letters, if you will. And then when you do stuff like this, it generates threat. And if it reaches a certain point, the villagers get mad and they come and march towards your base and start tearing things up.
That's so funny.
So it's a very, very interesting idea. I mean, we've seen this before, not specifically this, but this kind of idea where you play as the bad guy. Like, right. That's happened as before. But in this context, in this genre, I don't think I've ever seen it, and certainly not executed like this. So it's very complex, and it's got all these moving parts. Like, you know, you can cast, or you can turn like a person into a zombie, or give them vampirism, so like they have to feed on the blood of others, and all these things that you can do to kind of sow discord amongst the villagers to kind of turn them on each other, as well as the spells and everything else. Like, very complex stuff. But when you play the demo, it did take me two times to beat the demo. But when you play the demo, it's like the first level. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't really give you a chance to play with all the bells and whistles and to really, you know, really dive into like all the different things you can do or need to do. It's a little easier, I guess, because it's the first level.
Yeah.
So I feel like it kind of sold the game a little short in that respect. Although, like, I can definitely look at this and see the potential. Like, this would be a great game if there was more levels to play. And you can see all the content. I mean, content.
That's what a demo's for, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But I can totally see a lot of people playing a demo, not even for this game, but any game, playing a demo and being a little unimpressed because, oh, that's it. But you have to understand. So I guess that's my PSA here. You have to understand you're playing demos here. This is just a sample. You know, this is just a bite of the game. And if it's a game like you know, these types of sim games, imagine playing just like the first level of the first 10 minutes of an MMO or game. You know, it's not representative.
Some are definitely a tougher sell than others. Mm-hmm. And the demo itself has to be well-crafted, almost like its own little thing. It's not just that if you just cut a part of the game and send it off, mm-hmm. it's not going to land as much as a demo that has a beginning, middle, and end, and you get a really good idea of what's going on.
Yeah.
And maybe a cliffhanger that wants you coming back for more. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously that all costs money to do that.
But you don't want to over-engineer it too, though, because then you could misrepresent the game as well. I don't know. It's a tricky business.
Yeah, the different ways to advertise games, it's absolutely my favorite. Mm-hmm. I think the hierarchy of knowing what a game's about, obviously, is playing the demo. Two would be like, watching a stream, a live stream of it. Three would be us. There's no other media that covers video games, so don't even look for them. It's us. And then four would be, I don't know, asking your grandma what it was like when she played it.
Yeah. Yeah, so this game, Ruin Arc, it's being developed by Makima Games. I'm sure I'm mispronouncing that. But according to Twitter, it seems like they're going to leave the demo up, which I hope a lot of these developers do. I mean, there's no reason, I guess, that you would have to take them down after the festival is over. You can still leave them up. Other games have done that. So I would highly encourage people to check out. Like, if you enjoy sim games, totally check out this, because it's just like sim games, but on the other end.
It's possible that your game got better, and so you want to make the demo better. That's one reason, I guess. Mm-hmm. One of the games that I played was Pop-Up Dungeon, and it's in pre-alpha, and you would think you're not going to get a whole lot of game. It does not feel like a pre-alpha to me. I felt like it feels like the whole game is out and you could just play it. Mm-hmm. But that is not the case. They might have just worked on this demo exclusively to get it out of the stable and build interest on the game. It is a crazy interesting game. I love a lot of things about it. So it is an RPG with a campaign, whatever. You could play with a bunch of characters and play through the campaign, and that could be the whole game. But that is not all what they're selling. You can make your own game. It's a game-making game. It's kind of like Game Maker in a way.
Okay.
So everything is customizable, though, in this game. So it's a paper pop-up thing, right? So everything looks like pop-up little paper mache things, and it's very cute, and the graphics are great. But if you wanted to make your own game, Bobby, you could take pictures, any pictures you have on a hard drive, and put it on a piece of paper, and it would make a character out of that. It would mm-hmm. make an origami piece out of whatever you want, right? And then if you wanted to put sounds in your game, you could go to a video. I thought it was great that you could pull the audio from videos, because you could put a video in there, clip whatever audio you want. And the reason that I thought that it was great that you could pull it from videos directly is mm-hmm. because it's so much easier to find what you want. Like, I want this guy's punch that I heard from this video game that I played. You'll just find that video, go to that punch, and then you'll have it in the game.
Yeah.
Not just looks and not just stories are you putting in the game, but you can make your own abilities. Like, whatever. It was saying that you can make a cat that has a cat ball launcher. That's not in the game now, but you could just put it in. Mm-hmm. Now, the hard part would be balancing damage, armor, all that stuff.
Yeah.
The game does all that. There's an AI bot that handles that side of things so that everything should stay
balanced. So does it prevent you from just making characters or weapons or spells that are just completely overpowered?
I would imagine so, because it says it takes care of the balancing. So I'm imagining so. But I think you could probably, if you worked at it, you could probably break the game. But that's not the point. If you're making games, you don't want to break the game. You want to make something fun and challenging for other people. So it's going to be on the mod store. What is that called?
Steam Workshop.
The Steam Workshop. So once you put something on there, there's going to be a bunch of people making games for this. The UI, I very rarely talk about UIs, except for when they're bad. This is one of the most clever satisfying UIs. Yeah, I watched this video the other day for the Pixel Buds, and they were both reviews that I watched talked about how satisfying just the click of the case was. Just like go on and on about this click, and I was like, crazy, whatever. And then I'm playing this game, and I'm like, man, clicking every button is so satisfying. You feel like you're playing with one of those wind-up ballerina boxes. It's like everything, like you open it, and then options come out. You click on an option, you go to something else. You have to click on, there's dials that you turn. How many characters do you want in your party? Oh, I want 3. You don't just push 3. You turn a dial, very satisfying dial that just, I don't know. It's one of the best UIs I've played. So if this isn't pre-alpha, it's got so much potential. The only places that it dropped the ball for me a little bit, the combat, I felt wasn't quite there. I don't know if it's because I didn't understand it fully or if it's just not at a place. Smacking things didn't feel very satisfying. They got all the clicks in the UI good, but, hitting things and killing things and thinking these a little bit.
What type of combat is it? Is it turn-based?
Yeah, it's turn-based tactical.
Okay.
Yeah. And on that note, there's something like Overwatch. I think it's called Readiness or something like that. It's a lot like Overwatch. If a trigger happens, like my warrior gets damaged and my cleric is in range, he will automatically heal right after that person got damaged without you having to do any of that. He kind of does it on a half turn. And a lot of characters have something like this. So they'll do reactions. That's what it's called. Reaction abilities, there's going to be a lot of depth in that. But imagine you can fucking make whatever character you want with whatever abilities you want, and the game will, par it down. Tons of potential. And so the 5 characters that they give you, I was super impressed with. If this was a standalone game without the customized levels and all the game making game, I would have been pretty happy with it. I think it looks pretty great. Mm-hmm. Just a game standing on its own. What they put in, I was happy with. But there's no release date. There's not even a description for this game, really. It's very early in development, but I was impressed.
So no price on this game. Triple B Titles is the developer.
Yep.
Never heard of that. Pop-up Dungeon. Yeah, interesting idea. I'd love to see somebody make a DLG dungeon there. Just put our faces on some enemies.
On my notes, I forgot to bring up my notes, but the very last thing, one of the characters was a Shadow Knight, but instead of being a shadowy knight, she was like a lollipop princess, right? So she would do like life drains and stuff, but it was all, she'd say like rainbows and unicorns and then like sucked her health out of them. And it was just a great character, man. A lot of the characters, there was a druid. All he does is do puns. He was cracking me up. Like I said, just a standalone game would have been fun, but with no price, we can't really say much more. August 2020, it says the release date.
And they've really changed the environment in some of these maps.
Yeah.
This is like an office environment.
Mm-hmm.
The computer or a robot. Very cool.
Yeah.
Yep. August 2020, not too far away. All right. This was not a demo, but I played Unfortunate Spaceman. Now, we were talking about this last week. This was a game under the publisher New Blood Interactive. They make a lot of the games that I enjoy, particularly Dusk. These games that are they're new games, but they are definitely done in that old late 90s style. So Unfortunate Spaceman, I couldn't really figure out what the game was until I actually installed it and played it. Free to play game, by the way. They've got some cosmetics you can buy, but it's basically, I don't know what the type of game is, but I know I played it in Gary's mod. You have a bunch of spacemen wandering around. One of them's a monster in disguise. He's trying to sabotage things and pick off spacemen when other people aren't looking. And then when eventually people will kind of figure out who's the monster and then try to kill him. So that's one of the modes. They also have a wave survival mode, and they also have a single player campaign mode. And I played each of the modes, and I don't know. The Wave Survival, there's better ones out there. The
are there better ones for free, though?
Well, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Jacko, shut the fuck up.
he's barking at something. But the single player campaign mode, or actually, I'm sorry, it could be co-op as well. But that's one I thought I could have explored a little bit more. It was, the first part of it was actually pretty boring. There wasn't really a whole lot to do. You're killing these monsters that come out, and you're trying to move from like point A to point B, kind of like a Left 4 Dead situation. Eventually, at one point, there's like this canister that you have to carry over to a certain point, and there's this interesting labyrinth of moving platforms that you had to make it across all the while fending off the monsters. So it's
like a jumping puzzle?
A little bit like a jumping puzzle, yeah. But so it started getting a little more interesting, but still, I don't know. It's not stellar. Like, I can't completely recommend this game, but for free, why not? Wow, he is howling.
Yeah.
But that that mode, God, I don't know. Maybe someone in chat knows what it is, but I cannot remember what that mode is. I specifically remember it from Gary's Mod, where you always have that one person who's the bad guy. And I'm sure they've done this in a lot of different types of games, but usually it's just like a mode.
How many spacemen are there in a game where the mode, where there's a monster one?
Up to 16.
Okay.
Yeah. And there's a little bit of... It's a little clunky when you're trying to join a game because you can't, I don't know if you can really group up and then join into a game that's already in progress. I think you have to actually join a queue, or I'm sorry, join, what do they call that when you're waiting for the game to start?
Not a queue.
No, there's another word that I'm thinking, a lobby. You have to join a lobby, wait for everyone to ready up, and then get in there, but yeah.
Said it's called murder.
Murder? Okay. Yeah. We Trouble don't know. In Terrorist Town. Yeah, I think that's the Gary's Mod.
Oh, gotcha. One.
But yeah, so Unfortunate Spaceman, I mean, free. So not going to complain that much. But definitely did not enjoy it as much as the other games from New Blood Interactive. I think Dusk is still my favorite one.
How much... So you played it, and then... How much did you play it, Dusk?
Dusk? I've actually played a good amount of that.
Yeah.
I think I'm like halfway through the campaign. Maybe.
And what were they advertising? There a DLC or a big
mod
update?
Support. Oh, yeah, they got mod support now.
Cool.
Which is nice.
Yeah, for sure.
And then real quick, I played the demo for Papetura. I'm not sure how to pronounce it, but it's that point and click adventure game where it uses a lot of warm, like candlelight and paper. It's like origami almost. It's a very beautiful looking game. The animations almost look like claymation, and it's all the way that this game has been constructed is really incredible. They got some great videos on how they made it, basically just recreating or creating these paper models and using like a stop motion. This demo was literally like 5 minutes long. Of course, it's a point and click adventure game, so depending on how long it takes you to finish the puzzle, it could be longer. But there are really only two fairly easy to solve puzzles in this demo. Real, real short, but it gives you an idea of just how the game looks, how the game feels to play. I certainly hope that it's not going to be more of a walking simulator with light puzzles, and the puzzles are going to get more complicated, but who knows? I would assume that's the case.
Yeah, I would feel. I get a... It's kind of like Inside, right? Or Limbo is what.
Yeah, but
what
Limbo
I'm
wasn't. Was Limbo hard? I don't remember it being very difficult.
No. But I'm saying that's probably where it's going to land, right around there.
Yeah, that was a good game. They did have some pretty decent puzzles near the end, but for the most part, I think Limbo was maybe like a 2-3 hour walking sim. Very beautiful.
Little Monsters, is that the one that I played? Little Horrors, whatever it was. Little Monsters.
Yeah, I think it was Little Monsters.
Yeah, that was a great one. This reminds me a lot of these. When you make games that look this good, it's almost like you pigeon your whole yourself into one type of mechanics. You know, left, right, jump, and grab things and pull. Not to talk shit. I mean, I'm glad that people are taking the time to make games like this that look like this.
Well, some games
handcrafted. Who puts hand?
Yeah, that's
not since Claymation. Has there been a clay? What is it? Clay Fighters?
Remember clay that? Fighter. Oh yeah. Yeah, from the Super Nintendo. Yeah, I played some Clay Fighter.
There's hand-drawn art, but hand-built art from paper. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty a original. Very unique design.
Yeah. What do you think about that, Bobby? Like, gorgeous games like this. Obviously, it's really pretty. And then you play it for 20 minutes, and then you get into the game part of it, and the visuals kind of fall off until you hit, like, at least for me, until you hit, like, big moments that reinvigorate the visuals again. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, if, like, there's some particular moment in the game that really changes or calls attention to something, then unless something like that happens, then for the most part, no matter how good or bad the graphics are, you kind of just ease into it after a while.
Yeah,
and you don't even think about
it. There's no way around that.
Yeah, I mean, like, a good example of that is, for me, I have not noticed a difference in graphics in World of Warcraft ever. Like, I'm sure you could show me screenshots from 2007 and screenshots from, you know, 2020, and it'd be a night and day difference. But in my mind, it all just looks the same to me.
Yeah, because, like, it's about the mechanics.
Yeah, and I've been playing the game, you know, on and off for well over a decade. So, like, it's always just kind of like, it, there it is, you know? It's like, you just don't think about it.
For sure. Yeah. It sucks for them, you know? But, like, Ori, sometimes you'll hit a story mode or whatever, and something will happen, and there's this sequence that happens, and then I'll be like, holy shit, that's beautiful. Yeah. And then it's right back to the grind, and you just dig right back in.
Mm-hmm. But it's a good selling point.
No, for sure. Absolutely. I'm sure. And I'm glad. I'd rather something pleasing to the eye for 9 hours to 20 hours than something that, like the other way you said, sometimes you just have bad graphics, but you get into the gameplay and you just, you accept them as opposed to, like, enjoy them. Like, I've been playing Noita more. I'm not going to talk about it, but the graphics are pretty rough on that game. But it's the gameplay that draws you in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, the last game that I played this week that I'll talk about is Dwarfheim. So I was a little disappointed that the last time they had an open beta for this, could not get the game to work. This time I was able to get the game to work, and it's definitely, I mean, you know, that's a lot better, obviously. And again, you know, like I said earlier in the show, just the demos, they give you just a little bit. It's really easy to be, like, unsatisfied with them because they kind of cut you off at a certain point. But I see the potential and the direction and the possibilities of this game a little bit more realized this time around. Played a handful of games, actually, with this. Played all the different classes. So we brought this up periodically. Dwarfheim is an RTS game, 3v3. On each side, you've got one person who is going to be a fighter. He controls all the military units. He spawns the military units. One person's going to be a builder. They collect the resources above ground, and they build, like, you know, the houses and all the structures. The third person is downstairs in the mines playing Factorio, getting other resources, rock, stone, gold,
when you say
iron,
player, and is there a physical representation of each one? Like, is there a general that...
No, you guys are all controlling, just like an RTS, you're controlling one civilization of dwarves. But you each have your own individual characters that you can control.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, the miner can control the minor characters, and you can spawn them at the base. So you're sharing resources, which requires a little bit of communication. And, you know, like the fighter will always say, I need more gold, I need more gold, because he uses a lot of gold to produce units.
The forgers can be attacked by military units from the other team, I assume.
Yeah, so that's what I learned here. You can go down on the map. There are 6 points where you can go down into the mines. And pretty much the only strategy right now, you start off with 2 fighters who are, or 2 mercenaries if you're the fighter, and they're too weak to start creeping or do anything of use. So you just send them down in the mines and see if they can ambush the other the other teams.
Is that fun, though, or do you feel like it's broken?
I mean, there's so little of this game right now.
Yeah,
it got pretty old after a while. But again, it's a demo. You know, it doesn't have all the pieces in place. I think they're going to include a 4th class called the not the Prophet, but
Something, an overarching person, right?
Diplomat, I think it was. Yeah, the diplomat. Yeah, so who knows what that will do.
Are you just as excited, or has it been waned a little bit now that you see it?
I'm definitely excited. Like, I love this, but I still want a little bit more, you know? And who knows when that's going to come. I mean, it is a great concept, and I really like the idea, and I would really, you know, I really look forward to when this game gets fleshed out a little bit more, so there's a little more complexity to it, and the games would go on a little bit longer, because as of right now, everyone's new to the game. You get in there, and some people have no idea what they're doing. You send your fighters down there to sabotage their mining operation.
It's over.
Game's over.
Yeah, game's over.
So, like, you have some people that are just unusually good at this game for it being out, you know, for the demo just being out, and they'll just murder you. So there's
a lot of imbalances. Would it be good to have your two soldiers down with your miners initially?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you want to keep some troops down there. You can also build stuff down there. You can build gates and defenses, forts.
I'm saying at the very beginning of the game, so like if you do that, would that open up your home base to be attacked by the other player? I guess it would, right?
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah.
But you can get back up there pretty quick. I mean, there's a shaft that takes you, it's like a little portal that takes you down and up there pretty quick. Yeah. And, you know, I was a little hesitant to play the miner because that looks very complicated. They do have a demo where it teach our tutorial where you can learn how to play the miner, but that's the Factorio part. And it is a little complicated, but I was able to kind of get the hang of it. And it is, I like that there's something in here for everybody, right? Because there's a lot of people out there who love those Factorio or Satisfactory type games. And that's basically what this is. I mean, you got to yell for help when you're being attacked, or you can, you know, have your miners attacked, but they don't do much damage. Or you can ask for like walls to be built to protect you. But this really makes it so, if you're the type of player who enjoys that, great. That's your role. You can do this. And then, of course, the builder. There's something in here. Like, it's a collaborative effort, and it's role-based co-op. And I would really enjoy... They didn't have this available during this demo, or this beta, but I would really enjoy, like, a versus AI mode. Just a PvE mode, where you didn't necessarily have to worry about... Maybe you're just trying to survive constant waves from enemy AI, or get like some sort of high score or something. I'm sure that'll come. That was a grayed out option in the menu.
Which position did you like the most?
I enjoyed miner the most because I felt like it was the most challenging. But later in the game, and when there was a lot of latency, there was like a half second delay on any action command, so the combat was extremely difficult.
I'm shocked that their betas are. It's just live PvP. It seems like so difficult a thing. They should have had a, like what you said, like a PvE.
Yeah.
Just so everybody gets warmed up and gets an idea for the game. Throwing their servers straight into PvP, I mean, like maybe they're trial by fire, you know?
Yeah. Well, I can understand why they did it, though, because I think that's the core appeal of this game. Not really the versus AI. Like, that may have been easier and, like, easier for them, but I think more people appreciated that they went for the PvP. So, yeah, I mean, I've got the beta. Whenever they open it up, I'm going to play and just check on the progress, and, you know, hopefully it gets there. Like, I'm still excited for this game. Do they have a release date for this? Fall of 2020. So, end of the year.
Cool.
A little ways away here.
Hopefully it all gets fleshed out.
Yeah.
I played Desperados 3. This is the game, for me and Bobby at least, came out of nowhere. Because we don't know what the fuck Desperados 1 and 2 were. But this is getting crazy good reviews. I believe it's a 10 out of 10 on Steam. It's like a 93 on Metacritic, something like that. It's doing really well. So I'm glad I got to play. I was shocked that there was a demo, you know, for a $50 game that's already doing well. Well, maybe they didn't know that they were going to get these reviews. But either way, I was shocked that, like, this big brand new game came out with the demo as well.
Mm-hmm. And this, unlike some of the other games, this game is out. Like, you can buy it right now.
Yeah, yep.
But they still offer the demo, which is cool.
Exactly. And it is $50. Came out on June 16th. It's from Mimi Games. And they also made Shadow Tactics, which is sitting at a 92 Metacritic. So they know their tactical turn base. They describe themselves as a hardcore tactical stealth game. Yeah, man, you feel like almost like you're in a Western movie. At some point in a Western movie, a lot of times they have to sneak in and beat people up at night, like stealthily go in there. And that's what it feels like. You're looking at the, you're looking at the situation and you're like, how am I going to get through this? And then you just kind of figure it out. But it doesn't feel scripted either. Even though there's multiple scripted events that can go through, you don't have to use any of them. You can just kill all of them by knife if you wanted to, if you're clever enough, I guess, or and your timing was good enough. So there's a focus on action, at least on the demo. The story was voice dialogue, and it was short. It's just like cowboys talking to cowboys. You going this way? Yeah, me too. All right, let's team up. Kill these motherfuckers. You know what I mean? Not to say that it was like that simple, but the voice acting was great. I bought right into it, man. It's like a fucking really good Western movie. Let's see. Getting caught is not the end. Like, even though it's a stealth game, it just means that a bunch of dudes are going to run out from somewhere and be very alert, and everybody runs toward you. But you got guns. It's not the end of the game. You can you can fucking fight your way through, and it's kind of exciting. The action part is really exciting, actually, because you're definitely at a deficit, because you can't just be shooting like crazy. You shoot, you can shoot another guy. It's almost like it goes from turn-based to real-time strategy. You know what I mean? Like, it takes away the pausing when a bunch of guys are running at you at the same time.
So it doesn't pause the game when you choose your action? Like, I don't understand.
So it is real-time action most of the time. The only time that you can really pause the game is if you want to plan multiple attacks simultaneously with two characters. So they don't know you're coming. Multiple times I had my gang leader, which has the knife, and the doctor walk up to two guys that were looking the other way at the same time. One guy would stab the guy in the neck and the other guy would hit him with the syringe. You have to plan that in shift mode, it's called, which is basically like a pause and you get to plan things
out. Queue up commands.
Yeah. Other than that, the game is playing in real time. If you get caught out carrying a body, putting something in there, you're fucked. You can't pause to figure out what you're going to do. That said, it's all elevated if you get caught. People are running at you. It takes away the element of surprise for them and puts it on you. And you have to defend yourself. You go have this guy go hide in the bush over here, whatever, ambush these guys over here. And you have about 10 seconds to figure that out because they're running up the hill or whatever. This game is crazy fun. I can see where all the good reviews are coming from. Yeah, I'd say it's hard to say if it's worth $50 because I don't know the length, but I only played two characters and I know there's five playable characters. So that's all going to add tons of different replayability and stuff like that. And I think this is the game, Bobby, this is the game that we talked about where you beat the game once and then you play it a second time and it has your first character alive.
No,
that was a different one, huh?
Yeah, that's a game that's not out yet.
Yeah.
That's the one by the guys who developed Prey and Dishonored?
Yeah, you're right. But I can't recommend this game enough. $50 is steep, but it does look like it's worth it. I mean, just look at the reviews.
Yeah, no time to beat yet on howlongtobeat.com, but Desperados 2 was 22 and a half hours.
If I had one downside, I would say the graphics aren't AAA quality, but for AA they look fine. It looks exactly like it does in the screen caps and the videos. So if you're good with that, everything else, the action, the stealth, the mechanics, I hate stealth games and this one's fun because the action just keeps coming. You could do crazy shit like fucking throw a quarter at a horse's ass and it kicks the guy's brains in, you know what I mean, stuff like that. That you wouldn't think of those things, but it's just like, what am I going to do here? There's a lot of that. What am I going to do here? And the longer you sit in that bush, the more trouble you're in. You know what I mean? It's cool. It's very cool.
Nice.
It's one of my favorite games this year, I would say.
All right.
There's a Mexican, Hector Mendoza. Man, I didn't get to play him. He's got a...
The different characters, I'm guessing, have different abilities.
Yeah, this is the game that has, like, the sultry vixen or whatever. Because when you look at it, when you mouse over it, it always has their sex, male or female. Mm-hmm. I was like, why is that relevant? And then I remember there's the seductress or whatever. There's also somebody that mind controls. And it's apparently the Mexican is the savage. He has a big-ass fucking axe. He looks like a, I don't know, like a Viking or something. So he just probably melees people. Super fun. Great barks, right? Is that what it's called, Bobby? Barks?
Yeah, the voice lines that the voice characters lines, make yeah. randomly.
What the actual fuck? Sam was in the room. She's like, what the? She started laughing. What the fuck is this thing? So JP Diddy has VR, and he realized that, or heard or read or something, that now that we can play Steam Play together, is that what it's called?
Remote play,
which means that you can play couch co-op online. He realized that you could do that with VR games that are set up kind of like, you know, one person has the VR and the other person manipulating things on the controller. That works for VR, and that opens up so many fucking options, and it's so cool. So we played a game called Diner Duo VR, the Diner Duo. And so he's a chef and I'm the waiter, basically, is what's going on. And it's a lot like Overcooked, but there's only two players and it's asymmetrical. So people are coming in and giving me orders. I'm getting their drinks because there's three different drinks that I could serve them. And they're ordering from a menu. At the very, of course, just like any game, at the very beginning, there's only like four different burgers that they can order. And then by the end, there's like 21 different burgers you could order. And you have to get the order right. It's not just two patties, two buns, two pieces of cheese, mustard, and ketchup. It's where in the order that all goes. And, dude, John was, like, breathing hard. And this is a guy that kills it at Beat Saber. Like, he plays on Extreme or whatever. So after playing this for, like, 20 minutes, he's like, I think I need a break and a drink. He's like, because, I'm calling out things. It's very easy for me. I just got to walk up to the people, see what they want. But number 17. And he's like, he's got to find the 17 on the menu, which might be in front of him or behind him. So you might have to turn around, find the 17, see what order that is, cook the burgers, chop the cucumbers, chop the mushrooms, get the mustards, all that stuff. And, dude, somebody was watching his stream, I believe it was SOCOM, and he's like, you're incredible at this. And, like, sometimes I was like, you know, I need a number 6. And by the time I got the soda, he's like, number 6 up. I'm like, what the? How is that possible? He's just really good at this stuff. I think it's all that Beat Saber that he played. There's three modes. One's a burger joint. One is the winter thing. It's like just a winter version of it. And it mixes things. It makes things so much more difficult because it's not number 1 through 16. It's, I need a Christmas tree. It's just a symbol. And he's got to find the Christmas tree and what the Christmas tree is. It's a certain kind of burger, right? And then we played the cupcake shop. So people would come in and order, like, this one was crazy because there is no number 1 through 16. It's literally like they need four purple. I had to come up with my own shorthand between me and him. I was like, we need four purple cupcakes. I need three Oreo cupcakes. I need the 8 of the green ones, and I need 2 purple hearts or whatever. And he's got to stack all this on one tray, trying to get them not to fall, and then give them to me, and then I got to go and take it to him. It was a great departure of the regular game. Like, the regular game was super fun, hilarious. We're cracking up. And then the cupcake shop was like, almost felt like a completely different game because the mechanics were so different than cooking things up. It was just like, yeah, the menu part of it was taken away and you had to convey the proper, and there's no names for these things. Mm-hmm. It's just the name that you and him agreed upon.
Yeah, kind of like a real diner. They have all those funny names for things.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Family Guy did a joke about that.
So this game's $15.99. I think it's probably $14.99. I think it's worth every penny. Especially if I didn't pay for it. You know, the way they make this work is you're playing a stream of their game. Mm-hmm. And it worked the whole time.
Wasn't any lag?
There was from time to time, especially when he started streaming, because we were having so much fun and laughing so much that we're like, let's stream this so we have something to record. So he started streaming to two different things, and then it started to suffer a little bit. Let's see. That's pretty much it. It's a 96 on Steam right now. It's called Diner Duo.
And VR the Diner Duo.
I was like, man, we're pretty good at this. He's like, yeah, we should make a burger joint. He's like, what's it going to be called? A Mexican and a white guy making a burger joint. And I came up with Tacos Burgers.
Tacos Burgers?
Yes. By the way, we don't sell tacos. Don't get it twisted. The guy's name is Taco.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's called Tacos Burgers. And I think it would be hilarious just because people would fuck it up all the time. Hey, do you want to go to Tacos Burgers? How are their tacos? No, they don't have tacos. Well, we thought it was hilarious.
Who's on first situation?
I had tears in my eyes, dude. I thought it was so funny.
Oh, wow.
Oh, Wakonia said, surprised the Mexican was not in the kitchen. I agree.
All right. Well, speaking of JP Diddy, he just subscribed for 18 months. Wow. It's a long time.
That's like two babies worth of subscriptions.
Yep. we should also mention Low Light subscribed for 8 months. We missed that earlier in the show.
Thanks, man.
Which is almost one baby. So a little behind there.
Yep. I wanted to do after 2 months review on my phone, and I'm not going to talk too much about it, but if you could click it, Bobby, the OnePlus 8 there.
All right.
This company I knew nothing about. They say that they're the flagship killers. They just make cheap phones that are really good, that have all the bells and whistles of a flagship from the big guys, and just do it a lot cheaper. And then they started making their own flagships. So it was kind of weird, but we're just benefiting on what they're doing. If you scroll down, Bobby, I'll quickly go through. It's only $700, and these days that's a really good price for, right there. This is what you're getting. You're getting a 90 hertz fluid display, so the display is beautiful. The Snapdragon 865, that's what every top phone, that's the best chip out there, that they're all running the same thing. Besides that, it's super light. You can get in two different sizes. It's just a great phone. I like everything about it, but the standout features, I would say, are the battery life. I'm on my phone a lot. I mean, I guess we all are at this point, but I could go a day and a half, or maybe close to 2 days, with one charge. And then also it has warp charging, I think it's called, and I can't believe how fast it fucking charges. You have to charge it with its native charger that it comes with. Mm-hmm. But holy shit, Bobby, it's like, I would say 25%, no, I would say 35% in 5 minutes, I would say. So it's like you turn around and you look back at it and you're almost back to full. It's crazy. Only downside is the camera. It's not the greatest camera in the world, especially coming from a Pixel. It's funny, we both have our Pixel still, and we use the Pixel for pictures a lot of the time. Not that it's horrible. It's just like Pixel's such a good camera that we just use it for that, because you could just, it's just a camera now, so why not? And that's pretty much it. And especially at T-Mobile, they pay half of it up front. So for $350, I got a killer fucking phone. We're very happy with it.
Nice.
Yeah.
OnePlus 8. Huh. All right. And looks like MP Loft just gifted a subscription to Warconius.
Warconius. Thanks, man.
Awesome. All right, time for On the Radar games that have come to our attention this week. So last week we mentioned we recorded on Sunday. The episode was posted Tuesday. In between that, Star Wars Squadrons was announced on Monday. So we couldn't really talk too much about it. When it was first announced, when I saw the trailer and just kind of like the press notes on it, I was kind of like, I don't know. You know, it didn't really blow me away. The footage was very generic. It kind of just looked like Battlefront space battles to me.
Yeah, that's what it looked like to me as
well. Yeah, and I was like, okay, cool, but like, what's the actual game? And, you know, I kind of just figured this isn't going to be a very strategic sim game. You know, this is going to be something a little arcadey. They did say no microtransactions, so we don't have to worry about that, right, which is important, not just because there's no microtransactions, but that was, they went into designing this game
Without knowing that.
When I talked about Battlefront 2 and, you know, how much I was enjoying that, I still said, like, this is a game that's missing a component. Like, yeah, it totally had the microtransaction part ripped out of it, and it suffers because of that. So it's nice to know that they designed this in mind without microtransactions. Since then, they've released another video that has gone into detail explaining a little bit more of the game, and I've been a little bit more hopeful after watching that. It's about a 5 or 6 minute video, and it talks about the different kinds of starfighters you can get. There's going to be 5v5 battles.
That's generally what you're doing. That's the whole game, right?
Yeah, 5v5 battles, yeah, which I would have liked bigger ones, maybe, but I don't know. I'm still open to the 5v5. So they have the 5v5 battle, but then they also have, like, just like in Battlefront, where you can play a mode called Fleet Battles, I think it's called. Excuse me, Fleet Battles, where you have a 5v5, and then, like, if you win, then you go to, like, you advance to the next stage, and you fight them, like, with their, like, you have to bomb their big Star Destroyers or something. If they win, you go back to the middle part, and you guys do the 5v5 battle.
Yeah, Battlefield 5 had something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's stages, different stages of this, which, you know, coming from Battlefront, sometimes that's nice, but usually you just end up losing 3 times. Like, you just end up having to get your ass kicked 3 times before the game's over.
Right.
So I don't know. That could be cool. But they did talk about all the different customizations that you can do to your starfighter, both cosmetic and also changing the function of it. The different classes of starfighters, there's going to be bombers. There's going to be, you know, like, just your normal attack fighters. And I think something else, but they said you unlock all this through gameplay, which is cool, but is that just going to be a grind then?
Because not as grindy as something that had microtransactions looming over its head in development, mm-hmm, you would imagine.
Yeah, and how much of an advantage do these give you? And I don't know. It could be, because I did actually, I went back and played some Battlefront maybe, I think this week, maybe last week.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, this is fun again. But then I was pretty quickly over it because it was, you know, it was just the grind. I did like 10 hours on that game the first week I started playing it. So, you know, maybe I burned myself out there.
I was starting to read this article about how, like, it said, I have the most fun as a grunt unit in Battlefront. And he's basically talking about how, like, there's just too much pressure when you're Yoda. You're like, you mm-hmm. demand yourself to go out and kill 40 guys. And if you can just get shot and killed, you feel like shit. But when you're just a stormtrooper, there's no pressure at all. You're cannon fodder.
Yeah, pretty much. And that's one thing that's nice about these large scale battles is, you know, if one person leaves or if one person doesn't perform too well, it doesn't hurt the team as much. But when it's 5v5, everybody makes a difference. They showed this part where you could, I'm going to see if I can find the video here. But they showed this part where you can convene with your group before the battle starts. And it showed, like, all the pilots walking up to this table, like this, that was projecting these images, and you can plan out your strategies there. So I'm really hoping for something that is more on the strategic side. Like, I know I shouldn't really expect that with a game that's being marketed to just sell as many possible copies. You know, if anything, I think this is going to be as good as Jedi Fallen Order, which is a good game, but still it's a game that just was like, it was made for broad appeal.
Right.
You know, it had something for everybody. You know, it was just kind of like a game that a child could pick up and play and enjoy. But if you've been playing games for decades like we have, then it was just kind of like, okay.
So when you say more on the simulation side, like, what are you looking or hoping for?
Well, a lot of people are saying we want, like, another X-Wing versus TIE Fighter or something like that. And if you look at a lot of these videos here, I'll pause it when they zoom into this spot right here, you can see the cockpit and you can see all the different things. All right, they're showing the different fighters there. Oh, there it went. But you can see all the different the different things, you know, the control, the throttle, you have a laser charging, all these different things. Yeah, there's an A-wing right there. Your shields, like, it looks like there's going to be a lot, like, you know, if you shoot out a person's part of the ship, that's not functional anymore. And, you know, it has to be repaired, like R2, or your R2 unit has to repair part of the ship. And I don't know. I'm just, especially with 5v5 combat, like, I really hope it's just not, let's throw a bunch of starfighters, everybody pew, 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 and then the last person standing, you know. It's like, let's make it better to be strategic and to fight as a group and to have a formation and to cover each other and to help each other. Like, let's make that part of the game and not just everybody run in and shoot each other.
Respawns. If respawns are punishing, I think that'll help a lot on people being more strategic.
Yeah, yeah, and if, you know, there's more of an exchange in a dogfight, rather than just a couple shots and you're dead.
Right. As it would be, too. There's no, these things don't have heads, dude. You can't headshot an X-wing.
Yeah, they might have weak points, or you might be able to take out a critical
Yeah, probably from behind.
I mean, what I really want is, like, Star Destroyers versus, you know, like whatever the Rebels have. What is there, like... Nebulon B frigates. Yeah. You know, I want capital ships. I want like 20 people on each one of them. And, you know, I want like, I don't maybe even want to like man. Look out into, yeah. Yeah. That's, maybe that's coming later, but I don't know. That kind of game wouldn't really sell very well. So I understand why it's not being made.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Next game coming up, Crash Bandicoot 4. It's About Time. That's the subtitle. It's About Time.
And just like last week, we can't talk about it because they teased the release, right?
Yeah, so they are going to announce this tomorrow at 8 a.m., man. It's always on a Monday. So they'll have more details on what this game is, but it looks like it's just going to be another Crash Bandicoot game. I mean, what else could it be?
Yeah.
What?
Sure, it was a cool game back when I was on the PlayStation. Just because it has that name on it doesn't mean it's going to be a great game. It wasn't really. It was cool because you were going forward in a platformer for the first time. It was, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You were going into the screen as opposed to side scrolling, and that it was like third person. That was like a huge thing. Hopefully they put a lot of work into this, because to be a platformer and to stand out these days takes a hell of a lot. Hopefully it's good. There's not a whole lot of nostalgia factor for me.
Yeah, I never really played the old Crash Bandicoot games, although the Insane Trilogy did very well. So I don't know if the decision to make this game, it must have happened before that trilogy was released, but it seems like people are hungry for more Crash Bandicoot. That's kind of he was kind of the icon for
Sony for a while.
Yeah, for Sony.
Yeah.
Like, I always remember those commercials, the guy in the big mascot outfit. You know, with the megaphone.
The kart racing was really good. That was PlayStation's kart game. Probably their best kart game. Forget what it was called.
Yeah, kart games are always good. It's hard to make a bad kart game. Okay, so yeah, that game is coming out. Next up, Mr. Prepper.
Yeah, some Marconius, I think, put this up on. But anyway, there's a demo of it. I did not play the demo on this one. You're basically a prepper, but you're trying to keep it secret for some reason. So it's underneath your house. It looks a lot like, Bunker.
Oh, this looks just like
Wastelanders. What is that called? Bethesda's,
Fallout Shelter.
Fallout Shelter. It looks a lot like that.
Yeah. That cross section. Yeah.
Or XCOM.
Yeah. I was thinking, what was the game? This War Will Never End, or This War of Mine.
This War of Mine. Yeah.
This War of Mine.
Probably a lot closer to that, because the graphics are more realistic. Your guy looks like a real person. Looks like they're going for a lot of realism here. It's taking itself pretty seriously. You got to build everything all the way up from, you got to dig the place out. You got to put the lights on the wall where you want them. You get a certain amount of energy is going to each room. You can't draw too much attention by drawing too much power from the city. But at a certain point, the shit goes down and the bomb goes off, and now you're in post-apocalyptic. But nothing I've found talks about if there's a second part of the game where you're surviving the apocalypse. It almost all seems to be prep. mm-hmm. and then the bomb goes off. So maybe you get a point score for how well you are prepped.
He's building a missile there.
Yeah.
Or a rocket.
I don't know. It would be more exciting to me if there was a second phase of the game to see how far you can last in the wasteland.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if it looks like that type of game. I'd be okay with it just being the first part.
Yeah. Yeah, they were streaming this game, but I only watched for a few minutes. They were just kind of showing things off. Mm-hmm. The game's not out yet, and prepping for the release is what the release date says. I'm glad that they can say there are, you know, custom stuff in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm wondering, they got a few videos here, and I'm wondering if they show anything else that we haven't seen, because the stream video, it didn't look like, yeah, that's going a little slowly. They don't have much built underneath the house.
Yeah.
But, oh, yeah.
There's all kinds of stuff. Yeah, greenhouse. And then it said something about trading with your neighbors. So that's what made me think that maybe there's some post-apocalyptic stuff, not just pre-apocalyptic. But who knows?
Yeah, maybe.
It'd be weird going up to your pre-apocalyptic neighbor and be like, hey, I got some corn.
Would you like to trade?
Got any of that sweet puss? Or whatever. Mm-hmm. Ass, whatever you might be into.
All right. Well, that's it for On the Radar. Time for a little bit of news, and I do mean a little bit. Not a whole lot of news right now.
Yep. So if you play EVE Online, there's side missions that you can do that would help. It's kind of like the whole gene folding or whatever that is. You're going to help researchers with the coronavirus. I don't know how this works. I don't know how somebody gets some sort of research and puts it into a game like this. But apparently, if you go do these side missions, it's doing scientific work that's going to help people out. They're just going in there. It's really identifying clusters of cells. How you put that in the game, how it's going to all work, I don't know.
I mean, is it like a folding at home situation?
Yeah, very similar.
Okay.
But it's within the game. Mm-hmm. It doesn't take you to an outside website or anything. You do it within the game, which is, I think, a key part of actually getting people to do this. You know what I mean? Like, if you put it in the game and you reward them with some in-game currency, mm-hmm. that'll help a whole lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, hopefully we see more of this kind of stuff in the future. How much is it actually helping? I guess they wouldn't have gone through all the trouble of programming all that into there if it wasn't actually helpful, right? You would hope.
Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah.
All right. That's it for news.
Yep. I got some Mexican food for you, dude. I think I'm sitting on it again.
Oh. Oh, my God. Yeah.
But it was in the crack, so. Not my crack. It was in the crack of the. It's warm? Is it warm?
It's warm.
Sorry, man.
At least it's wrapped. What is this? This is Vero Mango.
Yeah. You know, I think the warmth might have melted it a little bit, but are you not going to eat that?
No.
Okay.
I'm sure it's sand. Chili pepper powder covered with mango lollipop, artificially flavored. So this is quite a theme with these candies.
Yes.
Chili pepper and mango seem to be very popular flavors.
Dude, when you only have one fruit in your country, that's what you fucking flavor your shit with, dude. You have mangoes. Ooh, he just dove right in.
Oh, I'm sure they have more fruit than that. This tastes exactly like the other one with mango. The one where you have to dip it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, the very first one.
Yeah, tastes exactly like that, but none of the work.
Yeah, the other one you had to continuously dip it. It was like a ring pop that you put inside of a powdery substance and then you pulled out. But this one's ready to go right out of the bag.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a fat Mexican, he can warm it up for you with his ass.
I'm trying to figure out what this shape is, though. This is obviously
it's a mango,
shape of
something.
It's a mango? It looks like like an apostrophe.
No. Definitely a mango. The Filipino mangoes are shaped exactly like that, the yellow ones, which are, by the way, the best mangoes. The yellow mangoes, you ever had them?
I don't think so.
They're the best mangoes by far.
Mm. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, this one is pretty good.
You like it?
Like it not as much as some of the other stuff, but I like it better than the, what was the one? Was it Luca? Something Luca?
Yeah, Lucas made most of your stuff, most of the stuff you tried.
Oh, okay. That's the company that makes them.
Yeah.
Yeah, the first one I tried.
Is that the one where you have to push the stuff up?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tastes just like that, but less of a work.
But the delivery method is better here. All right, and this is the part of the show where I take over because Bobby's eating. We're going to go right into listener questions.
All right, we got some long ones. Good luck with that.
All right. If someone, there's Captain Gummy. If someone went back to the first episode of the podcast, how many hours or days would it take to catch up to the present episodes? Also, are there any secret or lost episodes that the Patreons may be able to have access to? We've talked about that. So how many episodes have there been, Bobby?
This is number 343.
And I would say there's an average of 2 hours and 15 minutes is what I would say.
I'd say you could average it to 2 hours an episode. So 343 times that by two.
700 what,
686,
hours.
Yeah, it's called 700.
Hours. I don't know how long that would take. It depends how much free time you have, man. 700 hours is a lot, though. That's for sure. But you don't want to do that because those first ones are terrible. Our first episode was actually probably our fourth episode. We tried and tried and tried, and we just couldn't put it out there. We were so embarrassed. And then we finally were like, fuck it, we're just going to have to do it. And then we asked our one smite friend, hey, man, can you listen to this? And that became five, and that became 10, and we've been at 10 ever since.
Yeah. Now, there are a few episodes that never aired. Not recently. There were like maybe two at the beginning that weren't aired. And then there was one where we tried doing a DVD commentary for the movie Street Fighter.
Holy shit.
And we thought about, like, you know, originally that the DVD commentary was supposed to be like a patron only or something like that. This happened years ago, by the way. This is probably 2016, maybe.
Yeah.
All those things that I just described were so bad that I would not... not even to the patrons. Like, I know that our patrons love us and they want more content. You don't want this. You do not want this. I played a few clips from those episodes on our 5-year anniversary. So if you look up our 5-year anniversary, it was in December of last year, I believe, then you can see or you can hear. I went through them and I picked out like kind of the funny parts. So I did all the work for you.
There you go.
So you can listen to a few clips from those. They were pretty rough.
Sniper says it takes 28.5 days to listen to it all. He knows because he does it every 29 days. He only has half a day to dedicate to the podcast. But I think that's, if you listen, that's 24 hours a day. You would just have to go through.
You listen nonstop. Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. Sheeper Ponage. Sheer Ponage. How do you feel about Cyberpunk 27 delay until November? Also, what launcher do you plan on using to play it, Steam or GOG? If there's an option, always Steam. But then you can buy on GOG and activate on Steam, right?
No. If you buy it on GOG, it's just going to be in their GOG Galaxy launcher.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, so... I don't know. If it's 1 cent cheaper on GOG, I'll buy it there.
You know? There you go.
But otherwise, like, if it's completely even, I'd probably get it on Steam just because I tend to use that a little bit more, although I am using GOG quite a lot recently. And then the delay, I don't know. Kind of expected at this
point.
Yeah,
I'm all about it.
Like, however much time they need, I'm really, that is a game that I'm really looking forward to. It's hard to believe it was supposed to come out, what, March?
Yeah.
Or April?
I mean, there was a goddamn pandemic, man, and
video games. Yeah, what got delayed before that? But.
And video games are very hard to make, and they are really, I mean, they're pushing the envelope, right? So when you're doing that,
yeah,
you run into problems that other people haven't run into.
Yeah, plus they're not the type of company that's going to push something out the door before it's ready, so I trust them when they say they need more time. And on top of that, dude, there's like a million games out there to play. Like, find something else. It's not hard.
Go play Desperados. Like,
delays do not upset me. Like, I don't get out of whack because a game release gets delayed.
Never. Now that we are just shy of halfway through 2020, how do you think this year stacks up in terms of new games versus releases over the last several years? Is there any recent memory that sticks out to you as an exemplary PC game year, release year?
This was from Hoosier 89, by the way, or how Canadians pronounce it, Hoosier.
I think it was 2013. I remember it was fucking a crazy year. This year can't be good, man, because so many things are being delayed. It's just a weird year. Fucking Target's on fire.
I don't know. Well, we haven't gotten to fall yet when a lot of the big Christmas releases come out. Of course, that's just going to be Call of Duty and a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah.
But there's still a lot of the year left, but I think it's been a pretty good year. We've had that Doom game came out. We'll eventually have Cyberpunk. Remnant was a real popular game for you. I mean, it was a good year for me, not necessarily like the new games. I've got to go back and see what games that came out in 2020 have I played, because I can't really remember. If I had to choose a game of the year at this point, I have no idea what I'd tell you. But I've played a lot of good games this year. Yeah. Games from, like, past years. But I don't know. I feel like this has kind of been it's been a pretty good year, but it's been a tumultuous year. I don't know.
I think it'll go down as a weaker year as far as big releases, breakout hits, stuff like that.
It takes like a year or two to be able to look back realize, okay, what were the big trends? What stuck? What like changed the landscape of gaming? I mean, 2013 was the year of roguelikes, you know, and that's still like you see, even though a game may not be a roguelike, you kind of see the effects of the roguelike in gaming. So, you know,
ironically, Everspace, which was my favorite. Not my favorite. The best looking roguelike ever made, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I think Part 2 is not a roguelike, but I downloaded the demo and I'll be trying that out.
Oh, okay. Cool. Yeah. All right. Well, before we talk about what we're going to do, we've got our Dungeon Master calling in here.
Nick just wants to be on every episode.
Yep. He's calling in. Hey, Nick, how you doing?
Good. How you guys been?
Good.
Oh, not bad.
What do you have to say about ham sandwiches?
Well, what I want to know, I actually have a question. What it is I want to know how it feels to be a father for your first Father's Day. Happy Father's Day!
Oh, thanks, guys. That was nice. I didn't see that coming. I thought for sure you were going to talk about how awesome you were or what a good DM you are or whatever. It's good, man. You'll see it next year. Basically, you don't get to stop being a father. On Father's Day, so I had to babysit my own baby. I find it weird calling it babysitting when it's my own baby. But I had to watch the baby. There, that's a better way. A couple of times today. Sam was trying to let me have as much gaming as I could today, but didn't really work out that. You know, I got a good amount for sure, but it wasn't uninterrupted. Other than that, I got some gifts a few weeks ago, so she took care of me there. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, I was good. It was good, man.
Did you see that meme on Reddit where it's like, it's Mother's Day, take care of the baby for me so I can have some alone time. It's Father's Day, take care of the baby and have some time with the baby.
Yeah, it's a lot like that, man. No blowjob yet, but there are 5 hours left in these 24-hour periods. So we'll see about that.
All right, brother. Well, that's all I wanted to say.
Cool, man. Oh, hey, Gunfire Reborn. Already played the shit out of it. Have you played it?
No, I'm going to be playing it soon.
Yeah, okay. It's good, man. It's
we should play it next week because, I mean, we're getting into the end of the show here. Fastidious bought me a copy of that game. Just sent it to me out of the blue.
We haven't talked to that guy in 6 months and he's just dropping games on you?
No, I talk to him every now and
then. What the fuck is going on here? Yeah. Really?
You're doing favors.
But yeah, I mean, $12. Yeah. But I should have just picked it up anyway.
I played it today.
I played about an hour or two of it. I just got to the level where you can now play with other people. Level 10, I believe. Yeah, that's gated. You can't play co-op until you hit level 10. Maybe it was different when you played it. I don't know.
Oh,
but weird. I'm at the point now where I can play co-op, so I'm really excited. I'm actually really enjoying the game so far, bit that I've done, so I'm going to play a lot of that this week.
My big takeaway about that game was the more people you add, the more fun it gets. I know that's kind of like for granted, but it's not for granted. Not all games are like that. Every person you add, it just gets more and more fun. Mm-hmm. And we played it a bunch of times. SOCOM is balls deep. He's like level 64.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So he loves that game.
All right. Well, I'll put it in.
How many people can play at once?
Four, I believe.
Is it four?
Yeah. Okay. Well, me and Leslie will buy two copies and we'll play with you guys.
Cool. Sounds cool.
I'm down.
All right, dude. All right. Talk to you later.
All right. See you guys. Love you guys. Bye bye.
All right.
So
yeah, that's what I'm going to be playing next week. I actually am going back to work on Tuesday. So my time's going to be a little more limited, but, so that might be the only game I play. I'm going to try to squeak in something else, but I'm telling you, the little bit that I did play that game so far, I really like it. I definitely understand some of the complaints that you had about it. You know, some of the, not really complaints, but you know, some of its drawbacks, but, I think I'm going to have a good time with it.
Cool, man. Danger Scavenger, I'll be playing next week. Somebody emailed it to me. And it's great that we're getting games this way, man. It's really cool. And it's a fucking twin stick shooter roguelike, man. I can't wait to play it. It's just like right up my alley. I just hope it's good. I'm pretty harsh on roguelikes, I guess, because I play so many of them. Like I'm looking for certain things, but it looks great. It's cel-shaded graphics. Isometric view,
cyberpunk.
Yeah, fucking. If I had a roguelike in any, it would probably be something futuristic like this. So hopefully it's good.
And this game comes out on the 22nd.
Yeah, I took my shoes off.
Single player, shared split screen co-op. Okay,
but that means that we can play. Oh, you know what? I don't know, dude. Both people don't have to own the game. I'm pretty sure.
To do the remote play together, but it's not tagged here. Usually it'll tag it on the Steam page and it'll say remote play together compatible.
I don't think they could stop you, right?
We could try.
Yeah, we could try. Cool.
All right.
Epic Tryhard Phase, thank you for the sub. 2 month streak.
11 months. Oh, 2 month streak, but 11 months total.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
Thanks, man. And speaking for Bobby and myself, cyberpunk titties. Bye, everybody. Tits, tits. Bum, bum, ba-da-da-da-da. Da-da-da-da.